So social justice has always been part of our home weekends. And I was talking to Tim Bateman about the Sufficient Simplicity small group series. And his response was interesting. He said, the reaction from small group leaders has been overwhelmingly positive, with reports of often very uncomfortable conversations in small groups about its themes. And secondly, who is Frank Curry, the person who created them? So this is Frank Curry. He's the research director of St. Paul's Institute. And we're going to have a chat. So we're going to have some slides up on the screen about the work of St. Paul's Institute, just taken from your website. Frank, what is St. Paul's Institute? What do you do there?
St. Paul's Institute is the in-house think tank at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. We exist to speak a Christian ethical word to the market, the economy, and the institutions that underpin them.
Wow. Okay. So it's a theological think tank, and it's doing research on a bunch of issues.
Correct.
And you head up that research.
I am the research director, so I direct the research. Research director is a bit of a...
Yeah, you'll have to get used to a very Canadian dry sense of humor.
It's a bit of an elevated title. I'm the only researcher, so... But we do great work.
So. Fantastic. So Sufficient Simplicity, for those who haven't engaged with those materials, what is this phrase that you've coined and why is it important?
I've been in the hospital since Friday evening with my wife. She's had some complications in her pregnancy. So I wrote some thoughts down because Mark told me that I shouldn't tell you what I actually think. That's a joke. That's just a joke. But to be try to be nice about it. So, Sufficient Simplicity answers the question: how should we live as followers of Jesus Christ and in light of His gospel? That's what it's designed to try to answer, or put differently, to imagine what we, in the context of late modernity and incredibly affluent Western capitalist context, how we might manifest in our own lives the kind of calling that Jesus preached and his first disciples practiced. For some people, Handel's Messiah is just the Hallelujah Chorus. And I sometimes wonder if in rightly preaching the gospel of incarnation, substitutionary atonement, faith in Christ, and eternity in heaven, we don't commit the same kind of error of confusing the part for the whole. I think there's a part of the story that has to do with God's transformation of the whole world. And that story is about Christ's body, the church, being Christ's hands of mercy and kindness to those who Christ has made for a future and a purpose. And I worry that preaching or confusing part of the story for the whole story has the consequence that those who God calls us to minister to go hungry or sleep on the street or go lonely and unvisited in their sickness. So Sufficient Simplicity tries to understand how we ought to live in order to fulfill our calling at the heart of the gospel and to participate in God's transformation of the world so that the whole of creation manifests the structure of his kingdom.
Wow. Okay. And why, in your view, is the evangelical charismatic church not always good about this? Because I think one of your claims is that a partial gospel gets preached. Why are we not always good at this larger vision?
I think the part of the answer is that we are confused, really, about whose story this is, right? This story isn't about you and me. It is, of course it is, but it's about God's story, a God who created a world for God's purposes and who has redeemed it in his love and who is transforming it for the end which he created it for. And part of that story has to do with coming to a crucial recognition. And that recognition is that our lives are not our own and our stuff doesn't belong to us. It's God's stuff, and our lives are God's lives. They belong to him, and they are called to serve his purposes. And we continue to operate according to a frame of reference that is unredeemed. And it is that I am at the center. It's about me. And so we can come and speak words in worship that aren't borne out in our lives. And I think we're called to a deeper level of transformation in the power of the Spirit.
Thank you. We're getting a kind of window into why you're the research director of St. Paul's Institute. The Holy Spirit you've just talked about, why do we have this view of the Holy Spirit that he is here to fill us and maybe in a generalized way send us out on mission, but he's not really to do with the world of politics or economics or even culture. Why is that? Why have we ended up with such a diminished person of the Holy Spirit, perhaps?
Quite a lot of our theological reflection, and I can say this because I studied theology for, well, a long time. And part of the problem with our theological reflection is that we are concerned with trying to understand what would be necessary in order for the story that we tell to be true. And the thing that we forget to do is to live out the story that we claim is true. The first thing that the Holy Spirit does in the New Testament is fall on Christ in his baptism and send him out to be tempted. And the three temptations have everything to do with power and money. And I think part of what the Holy Spirit might want to do in the church is to pose the question of those temptations. Jesus' first sermon, or the first thing he does in Luke after coming out of those temptations, is say what? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. In Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls on the church, and what do? They share all things in common, and nobody lacks anything. And I don't know the reason why, but I think that the model that Scripture gives us is one that is different for how we think of the Holy Spirit and his work in our church.
Yeah. Thank you. You are heading up a research project at the Institute with the name Emerging Black Leadership in 21st Century Britain. Tell us what that's about.
I have notes. In Ephesians 6, Paul tells us that our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. And part of what we're trying to do in our research is give an account of the way that principalities and powers, the structures that organize the way our society works, function to disadvantage and to harm people based on race, racial and ethnic minority status. The statistics bear this out, and I could bore you to death for a long time telling you about the way this functions in British society. We're using the economy as the window in through which we try to glimpse how this functions. An economy in which, well, if you're a black British person, you are required to, at least according to Nuffield College here in Oxford, apply for 7 jobs to get a positive response, where your white colleagues apply for 4. If you have a degree in this country, if you're a black British person and you have a degree, you earn on average 25% less than your white colleagues. We're using the economy as the window and through which we will start to describe the way that our society works differently and in the justice system, in the education system, in home ownership and wealth, in income, in democratic participation and representations in the media. I think that's all of it. And our aim is to try to diagnose clearly the nature of what you will bristle at me calling systemic racism, and with a view to describing the kind of changes our society might need to make in order for us to be a more equitable place to live.
Thank you. We have, we're running out of time. Oh, we agree this is important work that Frank's engaged in. So we want to pray for you in a moment. For those whose appetite has been whetted, you're going to be heading up the Bible Summer School in August. What can we expect from that? How are you going to provoke us?
In this year's Theology Summer School, I will aim to... I practiced this with my wife earlier today. Explore more fully what poverty is and what it does to people, the effect that it has on people. To give a fuller account, actually, than the Sufficient Simplicity study about our Christian duties to the poor. To explore different models of how we can live simply and be satisfied with enough, and to propose how this might be part of how God changes the world.
Beautiful. So cancel your August holidays now to not miss that. We're going to take tea in just a moment, but let's stand to pray for Frank and for all of these matters. Perhaps you'd like to stretch out a hand. Yeah. So... Frank's wife, Georgina, is expecting a baby within the next couple of days, so we're just going to pray for both of them. So, Father, we thank you for Frank and Georgina. We thank you that they are a rooted part of this church. We ask that you would bless them in this coming season as baby Curry begins to emerge. We pray for your blessing and your favor upon them. We thank you, Lord, for this renewed, revived work at St. Paul's Institute at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. We ask that you would be with Frank and his colleagues as they look really at some of the biggest issues in British society and facing British church, and ask us to squarely face up to how things are and what the kingdom call is on each one of us. Would you sustain them? Would you inspire them? Would you bring revelation through your word in the name of Jesus? Amen.